This evening, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10.
Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of assembling together as your body of believers, as your church. And then, Lord, being again reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to learn more about what you've given to us and in eternal life. So bless your word, bless your people tonight. Build your church for your honor and glory, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." You take that little section out there from the bottom of verse 10, or we can also call it faithfulness to God in spite of the opposition. When we serve the Lord and we want to be faithful to the Lord, there's always going to be opposition. The Lord told us that, so it shouldn't be a surprise when things like that happen. To the gospel, there is opposition. To the truth, there's opposition. To the Spirit of God, there's an opposition. And to God's people, because they rejected him, they'll also reject us. But that shouldn't keep us from walking upright in the light of God, enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And a lot of times, really, what we don't realize is it's through trials and tribulations that God does a work in our lives that builds our faith in him. It's not like we say, "Okay, Lord, I want some trials today." But we, in the midst of those trials, realize, in the midst of difficulties and hardship in your life, you know, the Lord still holds us in his hands, never lets us go. And does he work out all things together for our good? His glory, our good. And so when we can be in that place of rest, not get frustrated, not get upset, not get twisted all up, you know, because things didn't work out the way that we would like them to work out, God is still working. I mean, if you stop and just think about all the different things in the scriptures that dealt with trials and how God was in the middle of it, and when people waited upon the Lord worked them out just like they thought. When people got ahead of God, things didn't work out well. I think of King Saul. He got ahead of the Lord, right? He was trying to do things his way because he thought that would work out better. When God said, "I've got a prescribed way, and obedience is better than sacrifice," God tells us. And so may we realize that the most important thing that we can do for the Lord is to obey him. That's what he said. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And by that type of a love, we show our commitment to the Lord. And we'll see that here. We're not going to go back to the beginning of this, but I do want to just kind of recap a little bit and let you know that these princes, if you will, that were set over the kingdom, and Daniel was the chief governor of them all, they did not like Daniel, and they were after Daniel. And I would dare say Daniel was an individual of a good nature, he was a respected individual. He was somebody who adhered to the things of God. He was honest, no doubt. He was upright. But for this is the reason, those that are in darkness don't like the light. And Daniel shined the light of God everywhere he went because he was yielded to him. We see here that he prayed three times a day with the windows open facing toward Jerusalem. And we got to commend him for that. So we're just going to take care of a couple of thoughts here. A deceptive plan, the deception revealed the king's trial. And these are going to be short points: the king's joy and the king's witness. These last three are really combined into one thought here, dealing with the king. And again, realizing that God was working in Daniel's life. Daniel had never experienced what he's getting ready to experience, and that was to be thrown in the lion's den. And listen, I believe he had the same commitment that the three Hebrew children did in front of Nebuchadnezzar when they told him, "You got to bow, and if you don't bow, it's going to be you're going to be thrown in the fire." And they said, "Listen, O king, know this, we're not going to do it. You can give us all the chances you want. We're not going to bow." And that was because their loyalty was to the honor and glory of God's authority over an earthly king. And so we want to respect God's authority, trusting Him, because He will turn out, if we honor God, God says He'll honor us. And so that's an important truth. So as we consider this, we find that the king was put in a place, kind of a situation. No doubt in my mind that Darius, King Darius, he had, or Darius, however you want to pronounce his name, he had an idea of who, he knew Daniel and he knew Daniel's God to a certain extent, but I think you're going to see a testimony here of an intimate relationship between Darius or Darius and the Lord here in just a moment. But let's look at this deceptive plan here in verses 10 through 12. And notice what it says here. The writing was signed here in verse 10, and so he went, speaking of Daniel, into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He is not breaking his routine, his commitment, and his fellowship with God. And he already knew what these princes were up to. He knew that the paper had been signed. He knew it meant his life, and he was still willing to give it up for the glory of the Lord. So verse 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They knew where he was going to be. They could count on him being there. They were waiting for him, knowing that he would be there. Then they came near, verse 12, and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Now, these individuals, they were underhanded. They worked this out to get the king and Daniel in hot water. The king, if it wasn't known before, it was surely known at this time when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den that his sleep went from him, the Bible says, and he was wanting to protect Daniel, but he had to follow the decree. So I don't know what the situation was. I don't know why he didn't think about Daniel at that particular time when he signed that decree, not thinking probably that, oh, this is going to get Daniel in trouble. He was deceptively tricked into this decree. And so it says here that verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Now, really, it is the king's decree, but it was at their hands. They're the ones that did this. Hast thou not signed a decree, really, like he forgot? Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Now, as far as he knows, he didn't see this. These princes did. So they're getting ready to unload this truth here, or this situation, to the king. Verse 13 here, we find this deception revealed. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, they don't like him. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he's not like us. He's not one of us. He's of the captivity. They're trying to demean him and undermine him. Regardeth not thee, O king. Oh, no, that was not the case. He did regard the king. He had great respect for the king. The problem was he had a greater respect for God. And the king did not know. So look what they're saying. Look what they're doing. They're trying to say, you know that Daniel? That Daniel, he doesn't like you. He doesn't respect you. Now, that was not true. But they were deceptively working in the background to build this up to get the king in a spot. And so what happens here, he says, listen, I want you to know he doesn't regard thee, O king, verse 13, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Now that's true that he's making his petitions three times a day because he's making them to his God, who he believed, Daniel believed, was the God. There was no other God. He's the only one. Everyone else, all the others are false gods. And so he was committed. Now, listen, be mindful of this. Daniel knew this was going to cost him his life, and he still did it anyway. Listen, where are we at? Just think about this. In our commitment to the Word of God and His decrees, are we committed regardless to stand for the Lord and what He's called us to do? Not in what we want to do, but what God has called us to do. He's called us to be a holy people, has he not? He's called us to be truthful. He's called us to be obedient. And how many things? All things, not just what we want to do, but what he wants us to do. And by the way, he's also, this is important, you don't have to worry about, listen, I cannot be in our vocabulary. Because if that's your vocabulary according to the commandments of God, then guess what you'll do? Nothing. If I can't is the issue. But wait a minute, did Jesus say, I'm going to give you a helper? Did Jesus say, I'm going to empower your life? He did. And so we have the power by faith or trusting that God's going to give it. Listen, I know there's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind. I can't stand without the Lord. Listen, if there's ever any persecution and I stand, know it right now, it will be because of the grace of God. Because my human flesh will run and hide and watch out for me instead of laying down my life. If I can lay down my life, be it known, it's because of the grace of God. Not one inch of me, it'll be all of Christ or nothing at all. I cannot be 98.999 or 99.999% trusting the Lord and expect to succeed. I can't do that. Lord, how much of salvation was yours? Isn't that amazing? How easy was that? How much of salvation was God's? All of it. God provided all of it. Let me ask you this. How much of the grace and the power and the love of God belongs to him that's in me? All of it. It has to be all of it. Because if I love the Lord with my love, it's going to fall short. It's not going to work. And so, Daniel, would you say he loved the Lord? Yes. He gave it all. And so here's the thing. How did Daniel do it? Please, Daniel would never want us to say, oh, did you see that, Daniel? My goodness, what a man. No. Listen, he would want you to know it was because of the love of God that he gave him. That God gave Daniel his love and his power in his life to yield. And by the way, the more we see that, the easier it becomes. The more we look to that truth, the more faith we have. And by the way, listen, did Daniel have any idea how this thing was all going to turn out? He didn't have a bit of an idea. All he knew was, you know what? God comes first. Wait a minute. Even if it means my death, God comes first. Is that commitment? Where does that come from? Has to come from the Lord. Because my commitment is not strong enough. It has to come from God. And this is what he was getting. So he said, listen, they answered him. And they said, he doesn't care about you. And notice what happens here in verse 14 when we see this deception being revealed. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with who? Himself. He saw that and he said, oh my goodness, I stuck myself in the heart, right? When I saw it, why was he displeased? Because he loved Daniel. Look at the deception here. The king loved Daniel and Daniel loved the king, but Daniel, and listen, he's not like Nebuchadnezzar when the three Hebrew children wouldn't bow. This king is different. This king, that's why I'm telling you, no doubt he knew about the Lord and he knew about the importance of God coming first, especially in Daniel's life. And so realizing that, he said, I made the mistake. He didn't say, well, Daniel, how dare you put any king or any god above me? You should have come to me. But no, that's not how he's feeling here. And so he says here that he was sore displeased with himself in verse 14. And notice this, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. This is King Darius, the world power. And now what's important to him? Daniel. Everything else is set to the side. All his other responsibilities, all his other obligations. He's concerned about delivering Daniel. And so he's trying to figure out, where's the loophole? The problem was, there wasn't a loophole. And really, the good thing is that there wasn't a loophole, because if there was, then the deliverance wouldn't have come from God. It would have come from man, and God wouldn't have received the glory. And so he's looking at Daniel to deliver him there in verse 14, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He's pouring through the laws. He's probably asking other people of his age to help him. Look and see if there's not some kind of an exemption here that we can pardon Daniel from this and get out of this. So he labored till the going down of the sun. He's looking and he's looking, and it doesn't work. So verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king. Now it's the end of the day. To the going down of the sun. And by the way, so here we have Daniel in the daytime making his petitions. He's in trouble now. And till the going down of the sun, this king is working. And now, when they know it's the end of the day, and it has to be followed through at the end of the day, now these princes come to assemble before the king to hold his feet to the fire. You know what they don't realize? They're putting themselves in the fire. That's what they don't realize. Anytime there's opposition to the Lord, people are going to give an account before God for every time they oppose the Lord. Do you think any of these murders that go on are escape the eyes of God? Do you think all of the sin that's taking place, do you think that escapes the Lord? Every knee shall bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're not going to escape it. And so listen, we knowing that on this side ought to say, listen, Lord, I want to stand for you, by you, in your power and grace. Lord, give me that kind of a commitment. Lord, strengthen my faith. And by the way, if you ask him for it, he gives it. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving me the power of your Holy Spirit that enables me. And so I'm going to walk in that truth today. All right. So notice what happens here. Then verse 15, these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. He knew that. The king knew that. They're just putting him in a corner. But listen, he's not even really focused on them. His heart and mind is on Daniel. And what's going on there. All right. So now we find here the king's trial, and we'll see the king's joy and the king's witness. Verse 16, the king's trial. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, listen, thy God whom thou servest continually. Did he know Daniel's testimony? He did. He will deliver thee. Listen. This king had faith in Daniel's God. How is that? He saw Daniel's God in Daniel. He watched that. He said, listen, no man works like this. And no doubt Daniel gave God the glory. And so, and no doubt Daniel was telling him about the God of the Hebrews and all these good things. And so, by the way, listen, how did he get to that place? God's bringing him to that. Now listen, it's kind of like this faith that says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And so he says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Don't you know that was a hard thing to do? And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So these lords also put their signet on it. He did it in grief. Those other princes were like, yeah, let's put that. Yeah, let's just put that seal on there. That's what they wanted to do. So what happens here? Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night, listen, fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Do you know when our sleep goes from us? That's a good time to pray. If you wake up in the middle of the night, just say, you know, the Lord got you up to call on him. It's a good time to pray. And so he was speaking to the Lord. And what happens here? Verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning. Why did he do that? Well, you remember what he said? Your God's able to deliver you. Why was he going? If he had no faith, he wouldn't even bother. You know, he would have called for the people to pick up his bones. But see, he had faith to go and see if what he thought about Daniel's, because you know what? He saw the injustice. Listen, when his sleep went from him, do you think he talked to the Lord any? Do you think he said, oh God, the God of Daniel, the God of the Hebrews, Lord, would you show your mercy? Daniel told me about your mercy from the people when they were in Egypt and how you freed them and how you provided for them and how your grace. And he told me about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and your mercy and your grace. No doubt. Listen, this he knew something about the God of Daniel. So he rises up very early in the morning and he went in haste to the den of lions. Now, you wouldn't go in haste if you think you're just going to find a dead body there or just bones. But he wanted to go. Now, his heart is torn. Imagine this. He's believing, he's wanting to believe, and he is dealing with emotions too, right? The Lord knows how he made us. And so he is dealing with that. And so he's going to ask this question, verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, wanting to believe, but being suspicious of the worst. He says this. He spoke with a lamentable voice there in verse 20 unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Isn't that good? This is him speaking. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Oh, wasn't that music to his ears? He said, is your God able? O king, live forever. Listen, he is rejoicing in the power and grace and mercy of God to take an injustice thing and make it right. He's rejoicing. So this was a trial that brought joy. But it's not finished yet. It's not over yet. And notice verse 22, I'm sorry. He says, my God, listen to this. This is another account of many, no doubt in my mind, okay? If it's nowhere else, it's in my mind that Daniel shared about his God to this king, Darius. So he says, let me testify, amen? Let me give praise to God. Let me give glory to the Lord. He says, my king hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Amen. And don't you know that was music to the king's ears? And now, listen, there's coming a day where God is going to make everything wrong that's wrong right. Amen. He's going to make everything. He's going to settle the score. And so he says, notice verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And no manner of hurt was found upon him because, listen, he believed in his God. Amen. That's the king. Listen, that's the observation. The reason why Daniel was not touched, the reason why he was able to go through that situation was because of his God. Amen. And to prove it furthermore, notice this, verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, listen, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, listen, and break all their bones in pieces ever they came at the bottom of the den. There is no doubt, no question that God held those lions from eating Daniel because they ate up all these people. That's amazing. Last thought. Now the king's going to give a witness. Now the king, do you know that that's what God wants to do in every one of his children's lives? Amen. as we don't lean to our own understanding, and as we lean to the wisdom of God, to the Word of God, and obey the and say, Lord, I teach me to follow and teach me to obey how much of your word? All of it. Lord, help me to be faithful in the little things and not think those to be unimportant. Lord, I want to be faithful in everything you've empowered. Bring it to my mind. Keep it before me. Don't listen, we can't rely on ourselves. Lord, you need to show me how to walk in your ways. Do you know, I still pray that. I've been in ministry over 30 years. Since 1988, you figure it out. Since 1988, I've been serving the Lord. And you know what? Listen, I want you to know something. My confidence is not in the length of time, but all in my God. Not a bit in me, because I tell you, and I believe it, I am. This is how I walk. Lord, without you, I am one step away from failing you. I am one step away from doing something that would dishonor you, and I don't want to dishonor you in anything. I want to be found faithful in you. So look at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. He's writing. Wow. To the whole world, the whole known world. And who is he going to talk about? He's witnessing. He's talking about Daniel's God. And so notice this. He says, peace be multiplied unto you. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard that in the New Testament? Yeah, the Lord and the Apostle Paul. And, right, peace be multiplied unto you. Do you know why that is so familiar and why it's the same? Because it's the same Spirit. It's the same God that's working. And so he says, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar, I think, said the same thing. But notice, peace be multiplied unto you, verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, his responsibility, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Amen. See, listen, look at the benefit, because Daniel was willing to obey, even at the cost of his life. Do you think at that time when Daniel was getting ready to go to the lion's den, do you think Daniel was getting his way? He was not getting his way. He was obeying God and doing it God's way. And so he says this, that men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. This is his testimony. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So why did Daniel prosper? Because of his God. Why will you and I prosper? Because of our God. Amen. God's faithfulness. If we start looking at ourselves and saying, well, the reason why I'm going to succeed is because I'm determined. Amen. I'm going to do it. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do for God. No, you won't. You know how I know that? Because I said that before in my lifetime. And you know what happened? But Lord, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again. Yeah, I did. I fell again. And I failed again. But the moment I said, Lord, I need you, that's what he was waiting for. Lord, I can't, but wait a minute, but you can. I can't, but you can in and through me. Who am I looking to?
God.
The Lord.
Amen.
Is God faithful?
Yes.
We don't ever experience that until we trust. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about after salvation, we will never succeed until we see that it's all in Christ. And if it's all in Christ, we will be what God has created us to be by the grace of God.
Amen.
So tonight, God reminds us that we could be faithful by the power of God to the Lord in spite of the opposition by his grace and power. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for all that you have given to us in salvation. And Lord, the power, Lord, of your Spirit to enable us to obey you and to love one another and to be faithful, Lord, to you. World without end, Lord, because of your grace, your power, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love toward us. Bless as we break off for prayer. And Lord, give us revival. May you give us a heart to seek after you and to walk upright by your power and grace. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.